Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deeper Truth presents... Yes, welcome to another edition of Stand in the Gap, where we celebrate our saint of the day, remember our priests, pray for our children, remember those who have gone before, and many other special features. Following this brief program note, our saint of the day is next.
Welcome to Deeper Truth. Stand in the gap with us and St. Gertrude the Great. Some of her statements. I praise, adore, bless, and thank you to the best of my ability for your wise mercy and your merciful wisdom. For you, my Creator and my Redeemer, have sought to curb my stiff-necked obstinacy under your feet, yoke, with my remedy best suited to my infirmity. And that's coming from St. Gertrude the Great. Beautiful what she says. She said, soften my hand, soften my hard, self-opinionatedness, which time has hardened so exceedingly. O Lord, I offer you this work to your only Son in the power of the Holy Spirit, to the praise of your Eternal Majesty. And she said, O Sacred Heart of Jesus, Fountain of Eternal Life, your heart is a glowing furnace of love. You are my refuge and my sanctuary. Let my heart be united in yours. Let my will be yours in all things, and let the soul who is desirous of advancing in perfection listen to the Sacred Heart. And gratitude for suffering is a precious for our heavenly crown. Man should always firmly believe that God stands just at trial, which is most beneficial for him. And so those are some words coming from St. Gertrude. At Holy Communion, I will permit you to draw forth all to whom the fragrance of your prayers penetrates. Jesus to St. Gertrude on the souls of purgatory. At Holy Communion, I will permit you to draw forth all to whom the fragrance of their prayers penetrate. So that's Jesus speaking to St. Gertrude now about the souls of purgatory. And she has a prayer for the release of 1,000 souls from purgatory. St. Gertrude, our story begins in a village in Germany a little girl barely 5 years old, entered a Benedictine convent, a community filled with holy, cloistered nuns whose whole life was the Lord. They knew and believed that the Lord was as truly present in the Blessed Sacrament as he was in heaven, and so they spent much of their lives on earth adoring him. From this fountain of faith flowed a desire to praise him morning, day, and night, praying the divine office. St. Gertrude grew in holiness, and when she came of age, she became a bride of Christ. In 1281, 25-year-old Gertrude experienced her first series of visions that would continue until the day she passed away. Her bridegroom, Jesus, appeared to her when she was 26 years old during Advent. She had been filled with a restlessness and longing to be closer to Jesus. The more she meditated, the more she began to have a disdain for the things of this world. One evening, she was about to retire when our Lord appeared to her as a very handsome young man, and he said, "Your salvation is at hand. Why are you so consumed by sorrow?" And she had received her final vision. Jesus spoke to her, "I will save and deliver you. Fear not." Our Lord opened his arms wide to embrace her. She tried to approach him, but a hedge made thick with long, menacing thorns barred the way, looming between them, separating her from him. As she knew that the hedge and thorns were the times she separated her from him, as she knew that the hedge and thorns were the time she had sinned and displeased the Lord, she began to weep. The Lord extended his hand, and as if some unseen force had lifted her, she was beside him. He invited her to rest her head on his precious chest, much in the same way as St. John the Apostle did. Her eyes went from his pierced heart to his hands and feet, and there before her were his 5 wounds, bleeding out of love for her and us, the radiant jewels of his sacred wounds. And that reminds me of St. Martin de Tours, when the devil appeared to him in all this golden, lavish, and because he didn't see the wounds of Jesus, he recognized that was a beast and not the Lord. But here the Lord is present with St. Gertrude. This is amazing. And St. Gertrude's visions altered her life, and she saw this moment as her new birth. Our Lord's mandate to St. Gertrude was to herald devotion to his most sacred heart. She came to us in the 13th century, a time of rampant heresy and glorious victory. The Lord promised that his church, although besieged by persecution, would triumph. In the end, we know that Jesus brought about the miracle of the Eucharist at Bolsena to dispel the heresy of Berengarianism in this century. St. Gertrude tells us that after this, she was converted. Not that she had been anything but virtuous. She had always been a good student, excelling in Latin, history, and other worldly subjects. But after this, she had eyes only for the Word of God in Holy Scripture and the works of such church fathers as St. Augustine, Gregory, and Bernard. 6 centuries before, in around the year 720, his children were being led astray, innocent lambs being led to slaughter by some Judas goats. And so God, in his mercy, gave his little ones a miracle of the Eucharist in the form of a human heart. Then 6 centuries later, he sent a saint to herald devotion to his most sacred heart, to let us know how much he loves us, how we can find refuge and strength in the mercy of his sacred heart. Is this book not about his mercy? God could not have shown more mercy and compassion than to give us an opportunity to be made ready for him by gracing us with purgatory. And St. Gertrude lived to love Jesus alone. Pleasing him was her sole objective in life. She sought and found him everywhere, but most especially in the Eucharist. Jesus was consistently in her mind and on her heart. She took to heart his words when our Lord said, I delight so much in her. I have chosen to dwell in her. All that others see and love in her is my work. And whoever loves my work in her loves me. I have decreed that she stand alone, without friends or relatives, that none may love her from ties of relationships, but that I myself may be the sole cause of her being loved and esteemed. And Jesus told her, it is impossible that anyone should not receive all that he has believed and hoped to obtain. It gives me great pleasure when men hope great things from me, and I will always grant them more than they expect. And St. Gertrude turned to Jesus as she would to an earthly father, with the complete trust of a child. No petition was too small or too great. On one occasion, when she had lost a needle in a pile of straw, she asked the Lord to help to find it for her. And then this came back to, it would be in vain that I would search for this needle, and so very much a waste of time. If you would be so kind, find it for me. And she turned her head, groped with one of her hands, and immediately found the needle. Our Lord delighted in her simplicity and in her innocence, and always rewarded her faith in him with gifts affirming that faith. Jesus gave us miracles of the Eucharist whenever we were in danger of losing our faith. Why? Because he wanted us to know that he is with us, reachable, and waiting for us, coming to dwell in us during the ongoing sacrifice of the cross, the sacrifice of the Mass. St. Gertrude was 27. She was given the stigmata by God, physical proof that God recognized Gertrude's piety and devotion, the stigmata, which represented the 5 wounds received by Christ during his crucifixion, were emblazoned on her heart. In May of 1292, Gertrude had her last prophetic experience. On Thanksgiving, Christ granted her a vision of all the souls that were realized because of a single reception. It was so numerous that Gertrude was left stunned. In one vision, Jesus gave her a promise and a promise that each time it is prayed, he would release 1,000 souls from purgatory. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home, and within my family. Amen. And although Gertrude was never formally canonized, Rome approved of the liturgical office of prayer and reading in her honor to separate her from Benedict the 13th. Pope Benedict the 13th gave her the title the Great, making her the only woman saint to be called the Great. St. Gertrude the Great is the patroness of the West Indies, and she is often invoked for souls in purgatory. And her feast day is celebrated on November the 16th. And thank you, Lord, for the lives of these precious saints. St. Gertrude the Great, whom our Lord loves so much, as he loves us all, but she was responsive to our Lord's love with innocence that our Lord loved. So with Saint Gertrude, pray for priests, because it is important that we do so. So much is happening in the world today. We pray for Pope Francis and all the clergy around the world.
It is time to pray for our priests, the real men in black.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
Without them, there are no sacraments. He counsels you. Who counsels him? He is on the front lines in the war against sin.
I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side.
Now let us join together as we pray for our priests.
I'm the man in black.
Joyous prayer, joyous strength, joyous love. Joy is a net by which we catch souls. Mary, Mother of Jesus, throw your mantle of purity over our priests. Protect them, guide them, and keep them in your heart. Be a mother to them, especially in times of discouragement and loneliness. Love them and keep them belonging completely to Jesus. Like Jesus, they too are your sons. So keep their hearts pure and virginal. Keep their minds filled with Jesus, and put Jesus always on their lips, so that he is the one they offer to sinner and to all they meet. Mary, Mother of Jesus, be their mother, loving them and bringing them joy. Take special care of sick and dying priests and the ones most tempted. Mary, bless them and keep a special place for them in your heart. Give them a piece of your heart, so beautiful and pure and immaculate, so full of love and humility, so that they too can grow in the likeness of Christ. Dear Mary, Make them humble like you and holy like Jesus. We must love our neighbor as being made in the image of God and as an object of his love. Heavenly Father, grant that our priests be strengthened and healed by the power of the Eucharist they celebrate, and may the word they proclaim give them courage and wisdom. We pray that all those whom they seek to serve may see in them the love and care of Jesus, our eternal High Priest, who is Lord forever and ever. O Jesus, eternal High Priest, live in our priests, act in them, speak in and through them. Think your thoughts in their mind, love through their heart. Give them your own dispositions and feelings. Teach, lead, and guide them always. Correct, enlighten, and expand their thoughts and behavior. Incline them, Lord, to constant adoration and thanksgiving. Pray in and through them. Let them live in you and keep them in this intimate union always. O Mary, Immaculate Conception, Mother of Jesus and Mother of Priests, pray and intercede for all of our priests. Amen. And the deeds you do may be the only sermon some persons will hear today. And we pray, Lord, we pray for families. We pray for holy marriage, Lord, the sacrament of marriage, the holy men and women that love each other and they raise their children your way. We thank you, Lord, for your sacraments. We thank you, Lord, for your holy Catholic Church. We thank you for the Mass, and we thank you for the Rosary. We thank you, Lord. As we continue our prayer, we pray for children, because so much is being brought up against them today, so much. So we pray that the Church, the voice of the Church, will be heard throughout the world. And we pray, Lord, with constancy. We adore you, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the great gifts that you have given us. And we know what's happening throughout the world today, Lord. Ancient paganism making a rise, come back. And that's why it's important for us to pray for our priests and to pray for children.
It is time to pray for those who will carry the faith beyond our years. Our
children, children.
You'll have that responsibility children, soon enough, kids. But for now,
run and jump and play, young, carefree children,
and help them keep their childlike faith.
And the thing that's really sad is that we lose the faith we had when we were children. Loud, proud children.
Lord, your word is filled with accounts of miraculous protection, and we claim that power for vulnerable children. Make your little ones invisible to people who seek to exploit them. Saint Joseph, watch over us and care for us, just as you cared for the child Jesus. And by your help, may we come to know your Son, and so grow in strength and wisdom and the favor of God. Amen. Saint Joseph is the patron saint of the Universal Church. Families, fathers, expectant mothers, travelers. O glorious Saint Joseph, to you God committed the care of his only begotten Son amid the many dangers of this world. And we come to you and ask you to take under your special protection the children God has given us through holy baptism. They became children of God and members of his holy church. O Saint Joseph, to assist us by your powerful intercession and obtain for us from your divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord, along with Saint Sebastian and Saint Nicholas and Saint Gertrude the Great, Saint Maria Goretti, Saint Daphna, Saint Philomena, Saint Gianna, Saint Christopher, Saint Michael the Archangel, Saint Raphael the Archangel, and Saint Gabriel the Archangel, Saint Monica and Saint Anthony. And Lord, keep our children from the hands of the wicked. Protect them from men of violence who plan to trip their feet. O Lord, you are our God. Hear, O Lord, our cry for our children. No matter where they are, Lord, you are their protector, the one who fights for them every day. Your love and faithfulness, along with your goodness and mercy, surround them daily. We trust in you, Lord. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Father, I pray over the lives of our children and grandchildren and believe that they are protected, directed, and will walk out their perfect callings. And Lord, we ask for protection for children who do not have the love embraced in their homes. Pray for healing, Lord. And we pray for those who are have fallen under addictions. We pray for deliverance, Lord, from those addictions, that they be healed by your mercy and your love, Lord, that every person is special, every person you love and wish to save. And we pray for those, Lord, who have recently passed. What's been going on in the Ukraine and what's going on in the Middle East, in Israel. What's going on in Syria? So pray the Holy Rosary for those who have recently passed. Pray the glorious mysteries, focusing on the resurrection and life after death. God our Father, your power brings us to birth. Your providence guides our lives, and by your command, we return to dust. Lord, those who die still live in your presence. Their lives change, but do not end. I pray and hope for my family, relatives, and friends, and for all those who have recently passed, known to you alone, in company with Christ, who died and now lives. May they rejoice in your kingdom, where all our tears are wiped away, and unite us together again in one family to sing your praise forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. and may they rest in peace. May Christ, may Almighty God bless us with his peace and strength. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, please hear this prayer for the dead, and provide these souls with your abundance of love as they enter your kingdom. Help the families and loved ones left behind to understand that you have a plan for everyone. Help them to find peace in their time of mourning, and to know that no matter what, you are always with them through the pain that they are experiencing. And Lord, we pray for the souls who have recently passed. Please allow them to transition into your heavenly circle of hosts. Forgive any sins that they have weighing on their soul, and allow them to bask in the light of their grace and mercy so that they can live with you in paradise forever. Amen. May the light of Jesus and the angels bring peace and salvation to my parents. And may they rest in peace, knowing that their souls belong to God and God only. No demon, no devil, no principality, no evil spirit has access to their light and salvation. May Holy Mary, the angels, and all the saints welcome them now that they have gone forth from this life. And may Christ, who was crucified for them, bring them freedom and peace. And may Christ, who died for them, admit them into his garden of paradise. May Christ, the true shepherd, embrace them as one of his flock. And may he forgive all their sins and set them among those who he has chosen. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much. I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child whom I have spiritually adopted, whose life is in danger of abortion. And Lord, we pray for the end of abortion. Gertrude, St. Gertrude once had a vision on the feast of St. John the Evangelist, described in St. Gertrude's writings, as she rested her head near Jesus, wound on his side. She could hear the beating of his heart, and she asked St. John if he too felt the beating of Jesus' divine heart on the night of the Last Supper, and he told her he was saving this revelation for a time when the world needed it to rekindle its love. Wow. Thank you, St. Gertrude, and thank you for St. John, and thank you, Lord. So St. Gertrude went on to be one of the great mystics of the 13th century, and she saw herself as the bride of Christ. And so St. Gertrude assisted at the deathbeds and mourned for the loss of those around her. And in 1298, Gertrude's health began to deteriorate, but she continued to only show her love for the Lord. Wow. Every time we look at the Blessed Sacrament, our place in heaven is raised forever. That's coming from St. Gertrude the Great. Wow. Wow. Our place in heaven is raised forever. I love that when the priest elevates the host, I will say, I will lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of Mercy, the King of Salvation, my Lord and my God. And when the priest elevates the chalice, I will also say, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of my Lord and my God. And so I do that at Mass. And thank you, Lord. And thank you for the great gifts and your blessings. And St. Gertrude, her message today, and to pray for the holy souls in purgatory. Very powerful. And Johnny Corey Gibson, Catholic author and writer and singer, sings this prayer. Thank you, Donna Corey. Beautiful. And our Lord, He raises us up.
Don't you feel, don't let them know.
Abba Father. Beautiful. And Jesus likes stringed instruments.
The minor chord and the major lift, the battle.
Most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious, and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, and under the earth by all the creatures of God and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And our sneak peek for tomorrow is Saint Albert the Great. Saint Albert the Great will be in our Stand in the Gap tomorrow. So join us tomorrow. God bless you all, and may His light shine upon you this day and forever. As we close today, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God be with you all, and peace. Good day.